Turn with me to Romans 16. As I said last week, I will probably visit this chapter a few more times. I don't know exactly how many yet. I don't want to read just a couple verses as a text. Romans chapter 16. Now, Joe said he wasn't going to keep us long, and he didn't. Paul didn't say he was going to keep us long or not, and he didn't. I'm not saying anything. The football game don't start till 6:30. I plan on watching it. I call it the Stupid Bowl. But I enjoy watching it. It's probably the only, probably one of the only football games I will actually try to watch all the way through. According to how long it lasts, this old boy may hit the pillow before it's even over with. But anyway, I will not try to keep you long. Romans 16, two verses, verse 17 and 18. Now I beseech you, brethren, we could say, Paul said, I implore you. Please listen to me, okay? Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that such a bigoted, mean, narrow-minded statement? If it is, it is. It's the truth. If we want to label it, just like the one fellow told Rolf Barnard, he said, your God's a monster. And he said, well, prepare to be the monster then. Because I'm preaching the truth about him. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. My title for this message is, When Men Offend Gospel Doctrine. Now some goats masquerade as sheep. I'm not going to, this is not my message, but it's relevant to what Paul's talking about. What I'm trying to preach on this morning. Some goats masquerade as sheep. I am persuaded, I figure that many goats, maybe not all of them, but many goats probably think they are a sheep. But they are indeed goats masquerading as sheep. But the alarming point is that sometimes masquerading goats infiltrate where the sheep gather. If they were just always out there. If they were goats who said, well, we're sheep, but we're not your kind of sheep. Now, there are some who say that. Well, I'm one of God's, but I don't believe what you believe. Well, if you don't believe who I believe, you will perish.
Exactly.
Now, you don't have to believe what I believe, but you will believe who I believe.
Yes, sir.
And if you truly believe who I believe, you'll start to begin. You'll begin to start. You'll start to begin believing what I believe. Now, I believe very little because no man knows anything yet as he ought to know it.
Exactly.
But, Mac, what I do believe, God's convinced me of it because I see it right here in his word. When for years I read this word, for some years I even preached from this word, but never still seen the truth of this word.
Exactly.
Now, some goats form their own gatherings. That's true. And they'll call themselves sheep. I don't know anybody out there, we're the church of the goats.
Exactly.
Most people who can at least read plain language realizes the goats one day will be put on the left hand, the sheep on the right hand. The goats don't have a good outcome.
Exactly.
So I've never heard of the church of the goats. But some goats form their own gatherings. But some rise up among God's true called ones. Some reprobates. And reprobate, Most of the time, when we think of reprobate, we think of a really bad, nasty, wicked person, right? That may be so. But some very fine folk are reprobate too.
Exactly.
Some folks compared to other folks are just really fine folks, but they may still be reprobate. Reprobate's not about your character. It's about whether or not God loves you.
There you go.
It's about whether or not God Almighty chose you or whether he just passed on by you. It's about whether or not God Almighty has done and will do and will continue to do something for you in grace through Jesus Christ or just leave you to yourself.
Yes, sir.
So some reprobates creep in unawares amongst God's elect Remember, Paul warned the Ephesian elders of this. From among your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things. That's scary.
Yes, sir.
Because I don't want to be one.
Exactly.
That's it. I don't want to be one. But it's also scary. We know they exist. Mm-hmm. Right in the midst.
Yeah.
Hmm. Jude made that very clear, didn't he? Crept in unawares. Now consider our text, our two verses. Just a couple things to kind of lay the foundation. These imposters are not the servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's clear. Whoever they are, they are not the servants of Jesus Christ. Because God moved, God the Spirit moved Paul the Apostle to pin this down. Or he at least told someone, write this down. As we will, you could see, would you read some more of this. These imposters are not the servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark them. In other words, it doesn't mean to put a stamp on them. It doesn't mean to do something in some outward fashion like that. That's not what the word here, this word in our English translated from the Greek, it means to be on guard of.
Yes, sir.
Keep an eye out for them. That's what we would kind of say it today. Always have your guard up. Watch out for the red flags.
There you go.
Watch out for the red flags. Now, having said that, all of us have some red flags.
Yes, sir.
All of us do things, have things, and do things that occasionally pop up, and it's a red flag.
Yes, sir.
I've told you this before. The reprobate falls away. A reprobate, one who's made a profession of faith, maybe even under the truth. Mm-hmm. And he or she makes a profession of faith, but then they go into apostasy. They abandon it. They turn from it. They fall away. Believers fall.
Yeah.
They don't fall away, but they fall.
Yes, sir.
But in the beginning, it looks exactly the same.
That's it. You're right.
Because both have a fall. One just falls away. We know quite clear of the example of Judas amidst the disciples. Mm-hmm. And even more than that, amidst the 12.
Yes, sir.
The closest of our Lord's disciples. And when our Lord said, one of you shall betray me. Mm-hmm. Every one of them said, well, Lord, is it me?
Exactly.
Is it me?
Yeah.
Am I the one? There was nothing in Judas that made them think, I always thought a little strange about that fella. He was so trusted, they had made him the treasurer of the group.
Yes, sir.
Mark them. Be on guard for them. Avoid. Isn't that what he says? Refuse them fellowship.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean necessarily that we refuse to tell them the truth of the gospel. Mm-mm. But at the same time, there's also a time when you don't cast your pearls before swine either.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that you shake the dust off your feet if the truth of your Lord is not received.
Yeah.
Leave it alone. Mm-hmm. But we got to get people to see Christ. We can't.
Exactly.
All we can do by His grace is just preach it and witness to it.
Mm-hmm.
And my brothers and sisters, it's not about being a pastor. To whom God has given a gift to publicly lead and preach the assembly, you can just tell people what God Almighty has done for you. You don't have to have great doctrinal points and have everything. Here's what God did for me.
Yes, sir.
I got a chance to do that the other day. I mean, I know doctrine, and that is bragging. I know doctrine, and I can present doctrine, and I can... Ellen sometimes arrange it in proper order where all the ducks are in a row. But preaching the Lord Jesus Christ is not that. It's just about telling who He is and what He done.
Exactly.
Refuse them fellowship. Here's the fourth thing. They are deceivers.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm not going to deal with the simple because I figure most of us are far more simple than we like to think about ourselves. Mm-hmm.
Right.
They're deceivers. They use what? Good words and fair speeches.
Exactly.
Isn't that amazing? Their desire is their own belly. That's a figure of speech. It means this. They are self-centered and man-centered. There's a big red flag.
Yes,
when people, anybody, I don't care if it's a man or a woman, a preacher or just a professor of religion, a professor of Christianity, if their message is all about man and not about the man, Christ Jesus,
yeah,
that's a big red flag.
Yes, sir.
It's a big red flag. Here's the sixth thing. Last of this little foundation here. Their words are, and we'll put it in a different language, their words are pleasant and patronizing.
Yeah.
Hmm? This is what most of the preachers, if I see them on TV, if I listen to them on the radio, they are pleasant and patronizing. They try to build men and women up in themselves, and not encourage them in the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Tommy loaned me a book to read, and it's by John Owen, and it's the truth of it is sound. There is no fault in the truth of it. Good instruction. But as I read it, Jack, it's just very little about Christ. And the only thing that encourages me to do those things that John Owen wrote in that book toward your pastor, about pastors and fellowship with the pastor, the only thing that encourages me to do that is not tell me about the pastor, but tell me about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What he did, what he's still doing for me.
Yes, sir.
I'm not throwing off on John Owen, but even the best of us sometimes just fall flat. You know, I don't need just a bunch of rules, even if they're good sound rules. I've got to have the gospel with it, or they become nothing but rules. Rules. Now, here are just three thoughts, scriptural thoughts, in light of these infiltrators. Turn to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Turn there if you're following along. You don't have to. But 1 Corinthians 11. Just one verse. Let me make the statement and I'll give you the verse and read it. This is for all of us here. Do not be overwhelmed by them or the thought of them.
That's right.
It will rob you and keep you in a constant mind of fear.
Yeah.
If you're constantly afraid, well, somebody might be among us. Because you know what you do? You start looking at people under a microscope.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Why do I have the right to say that to you? Do not be overwhelmed by these infiltrators, these masqueraders. Look at what Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 19. This is amazing. I'm not going to try to explain a lot of this. All I know is this is what God says. This is the truth. For there must be also heresies among you.
That's what it says.
Isn't that what he said? He didn't say sadly there will. It must be. But there's a reason, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Charles Spurgeon once said in a message, I don't remember, of course what I would have from him would be either printed up of one of his messages or someone, you know, gave me something to him. But he said, you know how to know if a crooked stick's really crooked?
Yeah.
Lay a straight stick down beside it.
Exactly.
That's how you know. Some sticks may look straight if you turn them a certain way. Right?
Oh, yeah.
If the bow's a certain way, you turn it up a certain way, look at it a certain angle. Looks like a straight stick. But just drop the stick down on the table and then have what you know is a straight stick and lay it down. You'll see the difference. You'll see the difference. And let me tell you something. The stick of God's word is straight.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's straight. It's straight. I may not see and do not see all its straightness, but I know it's profitable for all that stuff, right? Righteousness, reproof, correction, instruction. It's profitable for everything. Doctrine, everything. So my brothers and sisters, those of you out there that maybe you don't have a place together, don't let this overwhelm you. But don't take your guard down.
That's true.
Okay? Mark them. Mark them. Here's a second thought. Turn to 2 John. 2 John. That's right after 1 John. Does that help you? 2 John. I'll give you the verses in just a moment. Here's another thought. Do not be emotionally concerned for them.
Yeah.
You see that? Now, be concerned for their soul, yes. Because I, at one time, was a false preacher, Jack. At one time, I did not believe nor preach the gospel. I preached a perversion of the gospel. And God, by his grace, said, all right, that's far enough.
Yeah.
You're going to go no further. I'm stopping you. Hmm? But don't be emotionally concerned for them. There's nothing wrong with concern, and there's nothing wrong with emotions, but emotions can get you in trouble.
Yes, sir.
Listen to what our brother John wrote. 2 John, let's begin in verse 7 for the sake of time. For many deceivers are entered into the world. Many.
Yes, sir.
Many. I'll tell you what, it's good. Sometimes it's good to have a small group of people because you really get to know one another. But even in this small group, sadly, we have seen these deceivers come in, have we not?
Oh, yeah.
There's more that's left here than still remain here today. And left here because they did not like what they were hearing, though at one time they professed that they loved it.
Exactly.
That's sad. So just being small is no guarantee, Jack, of anything.
Exactly.
Be that as it may. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is, and if you look this up, I have a, well, Joe turned me on to it years ago, an interlinear Greek English New Testament. And it actually, the Greek actually puts it this way, because we do know, those of us who study a little Greek, A is very rare in the Greek.
Yeah.
Usually, it's usually a the or some other word to describe more than one person.
Right.
But here's what the Greek actually says. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Now, swallow that one.
Yeah.
Hmm? Not just a deceiver and an Antichrist, though that's certainly true,
oh, yeah.
But there are many of them.
Yeah.
And some of us have been so taught that there's one Antichrist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
John right here says there's many.
Yes, sir.
So if I'm already thinking there's going to be just one in the end, one of them may sneak up behind me and hurt me.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Huh? This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him God speed.
That's what it says.
That's not what God's book tells us to do.
Yes, sir.
That's some serious avoiding right there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? That's more than just, well, okay, I don't want to mess with that person. We've got to never let our guard down. Because look, for he that biddeth him God speed is a partaker, who?
Yeah.
Of his evil deeds.
That's what it says.
Complicit.
Yes, sir.
An accessory.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. That sounds pretty serious, don't it?
Yes, sir.
Mm. All right, here's the third thought. I'll spend most of my time on this one, but I'll try to move quickly. According to what we've just read, they transgress and abide not in true Christ-honoring, Christ-centered, Christ-instituted doctrine.
Exactly.
You see that? Their transgression is not some immoral thing. It's a religious thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
It's not robbing some bank. It's lying on Christ.
Yes, sir.
Lying about Christ. Denying the truth of Christ. And they may be a very moral, upright person.
Oh, yeah.
One you could trust with $100 bill for a week to give it back to you.
Yep.
But they can't be trusted with the truth of God.
Exactly.
See it? They transgress and abide not in true, Christ-honoring, Christ-centered, Christ-instituted doctrine.
Yes.
2 John, have we just read, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not the doctrine of Christ hath not God. A couple thoughts here. No doubt this includes the truth. Now listen to me. Don't get angry. Don't turn away from what I'm about to say here before you listen to everything I have to say. No doubt this includes the truth of Christ's person and work. That's the fundamental truth of the gospel, who Christ is, and especially what he did at Calvary, what he accomplished at Calvary, what he actually wrought at Calvary. I have no doubt that it means and includes, or I should say rather, includes the 5 points of Calvinism. But you don't have to know the 5 points of Calvinism to be saved. You have to know the Christ that those 5 points talk about. And if God brings you to know that Christ, then as you begin to hear those things, you'll, that's actually in there.
Yes, sir.
You'll start then to start learning the doctrines. But it's not that, well, if they're not a five-pointer, then kick them out. You know, I didn't start out as a five-pointer. I was one of those four-pointers. That limited atonement gave me a fit. The problem wasn't with the atonement, though. It was right down in here.
Exactly.
And all that brainwashing that I'd had. I was not even presented the two different sides of the argument, in a Sunday school lesson way. They avoided the other side.
Oh, yeah.
Just throwed up epitaphs about the other side, you know. No doubt this includes the truth of Christ's person and work. But they include these three things most definitely. Now, there's more than that, but I want you to see where I'm going. Most certainly, the doctrine of Christ includes, turn to Matthew chapter 7, before I give the rest of it to you. Matthew chapter 7. The doctrine of Christ is not just who Christ is and what he did. It's what he taught.
Yes, sir.
What he taught.
Amen.
And I will give you three fundamental things that Christ taught. Matthew 7, a little lengthy, let's read it. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. What?
Exactly.
Whoa. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, and my flesh is, okay, now we're getting back to doing.
I know, right?
Now we're getting there. Okay, there is some doing here.
Yes, sir. That's right.
But this is proper doing.
Exactly.
This is Christ taught doing, Ellen.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, look. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now he's going to go back to the first part and explain. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You see, the fundamental truth here is what? It's not about what we do, though doing Christ spoke of.
Yes, sir.
If our doing's all just about us, Christ never rebuked them. They knew this Christ.
Yeah.
You see it? But their hope was on what they were doing. Look, here's the thing. I never knew you.
Amen.
That's frightening.
Yes, sir.
That's frightening. Ye that work iniquity, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, he said. I will liken him unto a wise man, what? Which built his house upon a rock.
Amen.
You see it? Or we could say from the Greek, upon the rock.
Yes, sir.
Because there is but one rock.
Amen.
And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Why? Why? Because a house had been built? No. Both of these that Christ was described builds a house.
Yeah.
Right? And you got to have a house. And there's some doing. Mm-hmm. But it's what are we building on?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
The rain, it was founded on a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to no foolish man which built his house upon the sand. So they both built houses. It was the foundation that made all the difference.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
This is Christ's doctrine.
Yeah.
And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell. And great, great was the fall of it.
Amen.
And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine.
Yes, sir.
There's the doctrine of Christ.
Yeah.
Is it not? Now, folks, I'm not saying you got to know this parable to be saved, but you got to experience it to be saved. God's got to move you to build your house on the rock, Christ Jesus. And God will teach you that you don't hold the rock holds you.
Amen.
The rock ain't resting in you to do something, you're resting in what the rock did.
Amen.
Hmm. They don't bring this doctrine. They transgress. They abide not in the doctrine of Christ. Now turn to Luke chapter 18. We've already been there once today, haven't we? And Paul said, Luke 18, I thought, all right, now, easy. Don't preach my message for me. We'll get to the ball game. Luke 18. Think about it. The doctrine of Christ is this: a deadly, serious wrong action. A religious action, but a deadly, serious wrong action. Not all religious doing is good.
Exactly.
This is Christ's doctrine, Luke 18, verse 9. And he spake this parable.
Yeah.
So what's this? This is his teaching, right?
Exactly.
And he, what if it just says, and he gave them, but he spoke it.
Amen.
The Spirit emphasizes, this is his doctrine. This is his teaching.
Yes,
and he spake this parable, and the certain was trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men are, extortioners, I'm not one, unjust, I'm not one, adulterers, I'm not, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Have you ever done this? Start to pray and look up, and then this verse just convict the devil out of you, and you start putting your head down. Why? Because that's where our eyes need to be. You know why? Because Christ's feet are down here. Remember, there was a woman that gave Christ a kiss, but she kissed his feet. Judas gave him a kiss too, but he felt perfectly comfortable kissing him, standing toe to toe with him, kissing him right here. Even the apostle John, that beloved one, when he seen him, when John was on that Isle of Patmos, he said, I fell at his feet as a dead man. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast. Why? Henry Mahan said, because he probably knew that's where the problem is, down in here. My problem ain't even this Pharisee that's just cut me to the dirt. Because the Pharisee's right. I don't do what he does, and I do what he don't do. Smote upon his breast, saying, God, propitiate me, the sinner. You see, mercy is not just an attitude from God, it's an act. It's an act. And that act is mainly seen when Jesus Christ the Lord died on that tree and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I tell you, this is still his doctrine, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified, but listen, he didn't stop there. Rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So you don't have to know this parable, but this has got to happen to you. You got to be like this publican. Because if all I am and all you are is like that Pharisee, we won't know any justification. Never. Right. Never, never, ever.
That's right.
Never, never, ever. Turn to Matthew 19. Do we see a little bit, he that transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ? Is it God showing us maybe a little something here? This ain't new. But, you know, I've heard a lot of messages from, what was it, 2 John, and a lot of times it's about the 5 points. They're certainly included, but that ain't all there is to it.
Exactly.
Huh? You can be a Calvinist and be proud in your Calvinism.
Yeah. Right.
And you can be a Calvinist and think that your Calvinism is what's getting you to glory. Yeah. And it's just not so. Calvinism is what's going to make you right in doctrine. Bowing to Christ, having God Almighty conquered your soul, is what's actually right in salvation. That's where the true doctrine starts. You see, if God ever bows you to Christ, then when you read Christ say, whoa, he said that. Whoa, he said that. But that's the Christ. Right? He taught this. Whoa! But that's the Christ. Back when I was in religion and lost as a goose in a horse race, as they often say, I'd read those things and then just kind of go on past them. Just go on, you know. Either, well, that's too deep, or, you know, just some kind of excuse. Get back to the passages that talk about me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I can do. Yeah, what I can do. Mm. All right, Matthew, what I say? Matthew 19? I didn't make it there. Got called away. Or called up. Matthew 19. Here we go. The doctrine of Christ. Think about it. Not preaching the doctrine of Christ is a wrong possibility. Now look at Matthew 19, verse 23. This said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, and this is, remember, right after the rich young ruler came to him and said, good master, tell me what good thing I could do to inherit eternal life. He said, keep the commandments. I did those since I was a little fella. And he said, all right, now, because Christ knows. He said, all right, you take everything you got and you give it to the poor and you come and follow me. Whoa. Whoa. That doesn't have a whole lot to do with the law itself in its strict sense, does it? It has to do with bowing to Jesus Christ. He had great riches and he went away sorrowful. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily or truly I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, is that not his doctrine? Is this not, Mac, is this not his doctrine? It's what he taught, right? Again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And if you've ever seen some of these Bible dictionaries, they will show you that gate. And it's called the needle. And they said even camels had to bow down and crawl through. I think all that's bunk. And that's what our Lord was referring to. I just don't think that. I think he means exactly what it's saying. Can that camel get through an eye of a needle? It is impossible. Right? And he says it, look, when his disciples heard it, they were exceeding amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them. Look at it. He started looking them right in the eye. Huh? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is what? I-M-P-O-S-S-I-B-L-E. And how many people out there do you hear talking? Preachers now, even preachers. God made salvation possible for you. Mm-mm. With men this is what? Well, but you got a free will. With me, I don't care if you do. It don't do you no good.
Exactly.
Now, you don't got one. But if you had one, it still wouldn't do you no good. Because with men, it's what? Impossible. Our will's not free. It's as bound as our heart is. And our heart is desperately wicked above all things. We still don't know it to its fullest yet.
Amen.
With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things. He can take a vile sinner, a publican. He can even take a religious Pharisee and join those people to himself. But he can only do it through the person of his Son.
Yes.
As Scott Richardson used to say, before God ever does anything for you, he had to do something for himself. He had to slaughter his son in your place, in your room, and in your stead. And now it's possible. And listen, God's possibilities ain't just maybe, maybe not. The promises of God in Christ are what? Yea and amen.
Amen.
See, you could have correct doctrine about Christ, but what if I miss his doctrine about rock and sand? What if I miss his doctrine about self-justification versus begging God for mercy? What if I miss his doctrine about salvation with men is impossible, but with God, it's all yea and amen. Heavenly Father, oh God, keep us moving forward, not looking back, but pressing forward toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. God, help us to throw off all of our idols, even ourselves. Forgive us of our sins. We thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen.